That night I went home in a desperate condition. I told Mama Valerius, who said, "Why, of course the voice is jealous." And that, dear, first revealed to me that I loved you. Christine stopped and laid her head on Raoul's shoulder. They sat like that for a moment in silence, and they did not see, did not perceive the movement, at a few steps from them, of the creeping shadow of two great black wings, a shadow that came along the roof so near them that it could have stifled them by closing over them. "The next day," Christine continued with a sigh, "I went back to my dressing room in a very pensive frame of mind. The voice was there, spoke to me with great sadness, and told me plainly that if I must bestow my heart on earth, there was nothing for the voice to do but to go back to heaven. And it said this with such an accent of human sorrow that I ought then and there to have suspected and begun to believe that I was the victim of my deluded senses. But my faith in the voice, with which the memory of my father was so closely intermingled, remained undisturbed. I feared nothing so much as that I might never hear it again. I had thought about my love for you and realized all the useless danger of it. And I did not even know if you remembered me. Whatever happened, your position in society forbade me to contemplate the possibility of ever marrying you, and I swore to the voice that you were no more than a brother to me, nor ever would be, and that my heart was incapable of any earthly love. And that, dear, was why I refused to recognize you or see you when I met you on the stage or in the passages. Meanwhile, the hours during which the voice taught me were spent in a divine frenzy, until at last the voice said to me, 'You can now, Christine Daae, give to men a little of the music of heaven.' I don't know how it was that Carlotta did not come to the theater that night, nor why I was called upon to sing in her stead, but I sang with a rapture I had never known before, and I felt for a moment as if my soul were leaving my body." "Oh, Christine," said Raoul, "my heart quivered that night at every accent of your voice. I saw the tears stream down your cheeks, and I wept with you. How could you sing like that while crying?" "I felt myself fainting," said Christine. "I closed my eyes. When I opened them, you were by my side. But the voice was there also, Raoul. I was afraid for your sake, and again I would not recognize you, and began to laugh when you reminded me that you had picked up my scarf in the sea. Alas, there is no deceiving the voice. The voice recognized you, and the voice was jealous. It said that if I did not love you, I would not avoid you, but treat you like any other old friend. It made scene upon scene. At last I said to the voice, 'That will do. I am going to Perot tomorrow to pray on my father's grave, and I shall ask Monsieur Raoul de Chagny to go with me.' 'Do as you please,' replied the voice, 'but I shall be at Perot too, for I am wherever you are, Christine. And if you are still worthy of me, if you have not lied to me, I will play you the resurrection of Lazarus, on the stroke of midnight, on your father's tomb, and on your father's violin.'